Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 15 of season 2. When you were growing up, did your school guidance counselor ever take you aside and say, you know, you should think about becoming a farmer? Well, if so, you're lucky, but you're also unusual. Farming is one of those few essential occupations that don't always have a clearly marked career path, nor is it necessarily encouraged, kind of like funeral directors in that way. Lots of people who grew up with family in the occupation might stick with it, but it can be hard for others to find their way in. Today, we talk with a person who works every day with all manner of people who want to become farmers.
You get people who are just doing it as a hobby and decide that, you know, maybe this is something I would like to do as some form of income. We have a mentorship pilot program, and a lot of our applications for the mentees, the ones wanting to learn, are actually from the Metro St. John's area. There has been a bit of a shift in thinking about local, and a lot of that has actually been driven by the restaurants. Our land matching map is a new resource that allows people who have land and those who are seeking land to connect.
Matthew Carlson works for the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture as the Young Farmers Coordinator. He organizes events, fields calls from interested folks, he gathers relevant materials for new entrants, and he generally keeps his fingers on the pulse of agriculture in the province. We connected in the early part of 2021 over some wires and internet signals, none of them close to 5G, and we had to make do with Zoom. But if anything, farming is all about making do in challenging circumstances.
I'm Matthew Carlson. I'm the Young Farmers Coordinator at the Newfoundland and Labrador Federation of Agriculture.
I suppose that in the best of times, becoming a young farmer might be difficult, but we've had this pandemic. How has the pandemic affected getting into agriculture?
Well, I tell you one positive that's come out of it is people have thought more about where their food comes from. You know, especially when things were first sort of setting on with the pandemic and nobody knew how all this was going to play out, et cetera. There was a lot of questions about, you know, people started trying to buy up a lot of food and other items, you know, the toilet paper run that everyone knows about where you couldn't get that for a while there. It really got people thinking. And you alluded to Snowmageddon as well. That was sort of our prelude. It was almost like a dress rehearsal for COVID. It was sort of a taste of what was to come, only none of us knew it at the time. But that even got people thinking because just with all the transportation delays, et cetera, you know, there was a lot of delays with getting food to the stores, et cetera. So that got people thinking. And then people got thinking even more about it once the pandemic came about. So it, you know, has its positive aspects in that sense. It's harder to carry out a lot of the things that would be involved with getting into farming. If you want to attend training, you know, there's less things happening in person. We've been adapting our workshops to be virtual events done through Zoom and similar types of platforms. So, and that also has its, you know, that's got us to focus more on that. And of course, there's geographic challenges in the province. So again, there's little positives to come out of it as much as we'd much rather not have to be doing this. But once we return to being able to do things more in person, we're going to look at, you know, ways to reach people who are a bit further out. Because even, you know, you go to the different regions and go to the regional hub of a certain area, it's still going to be far away from somebody. It's going to be a bit of a drive for somebody who has to, you know, really make some big plans for how they're getting there. So given our geography, it's something that we're going to look at, you know, maybe having a video link at a lot of our events in the future where we can. You can't just pop into someone's office the same way these days, you know, to ask some questions. The offices aren't quite as open. It's impacted everything and certainly added extra layers of challenge. And people had to deal with government, and maybe they got people who are working from home and don't have access to everything that they may have access to normally. So there's certainly a lot of challenges out there.
So logistically, some of those things would slow down a bit if you've got young farmers going through the land process.
Getting land takes a lot of time at the best of time through the Crown Lands process. They've been making some reforms, and that's taken time to really have the impact that they're trying to have from that. So there's some improvements there, but we still got a long ways to go on that. And the pandemic situation certainly hasn't helped with that either.
Do you connect in with other provinces, young farmers organizations? Is there more interaction in some ways because we're all in our living rooms?
Yeah, well, actually, funny enough, yes. So we did our virtual leadership summit. So we do a leadership summit. It's a conference for young farmers every fall in November. You know, normally we just have our own young farmers there, and often we don't get a whole lot of people from too far away in our own province. But this year, we had more people actually in total than we've ever had attend, and more young farmers, and we had young farmers from as far away as Saskatchewan tuning in. So we put it out there to young farmers from across the country. We reached out to our counterparts at the Canadian Young Farmers Forum and sort of said, you know, put that out there, let people know. And, you know, the speakers were tailoring things to our young farmers, you know, the topics as best they could. You know, the vast majority were from here, but we did have a few from other parts of Atlantic Canada, Ontario, Saskatchewan, maybe one or two other provinces.
The young farmers today, are they coming from different kinds of backgrounds than maybe when I was growing up, or people grew up on a farm and they ended up taking over a farm? Or do young farmers today come from every area of society?
Yeah, I mean, you'll still see predominantly it's people who had it in their family, who come from a farming family and have decided to follow in the footsteps of their parents or aunts or uncles, or even in some cases, it'll skip a generation. You'll have the grandparents who are farmers, the new young farmers' parents weren't interested in farming, and then that person decides to get into it again. So it's most commonly that, but you certainly get people from, you know, from all backgrounds who have just, you know, taken an interest in farming, whether it's somebody who just, you know, grew up in an agriculture area and sort of said, you know, I see all this around me and I find it all very interesting and I'm thinking it's maybe for me. Or we have a mentorship pilot program, and a lot of our applications for the mentees, the ones wanting to learn, are actually from the Metro St. John's area. So that's been the bulk of them actually that have been coming in. There's a lot of people, you know, thinking about it even in the, you know, sort of the most urbanized part of the province.
There's been a fairly large movement of people who are on some of the Facebook groups, about whether they be backyard gardening or backyard farming, homesteading, whatever. Have some of those people then migrated over and decided, oh, this is something I want to do use more than just for my own self-provisioning, but I would like to actually go into business. Does that happen sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. You get people who, you know, are just doing it as a hobby and sort of decide that, you know, maybe this is something I would like to do as, you know, some form of income, you know, because it's a lot of, it's especially in this province, it's quite common for people to do farming as a, like an income supplement. It's not their primary job. They have a day job. And then they also operate their farm, sell their products. Maybe they take a booth out at the St. John's Farmers Market on the weekends, things like that, right? So it's quite common here to sort of do that as a side job, you know, whereas you also get, you know, say like Lester's Farm Market and all the dairy farms, et cetera, around the province where that's their main job.
Yeah, I've often sort of thought that farming in some places is a lot like being a musician, that you have to have a day job and then you farm or you play music on the side. Is there a piece of music that is important to you, like, or that sort of reflects farming or young farming or whatever, some sort of artist that I can play kind of in the background as part of this?
We did a video a couple years back. Yeah. We called it our brand anthem video. And it's just a video just sort of showing young farmers and making people feel good about it and saying, become a young farmer at the end of it. And there's a local band called Rube and Rake, I think they're called. Andrew Lace and Josh Sandu. That's the guys. We use one of their songs. Yeah, and I think that video is right on our main website. Let me see. Yes, right on our main website, you'll see Become a Young Farmer with a video there.
And I walked through the mud, the aftermath, the remnants of the flood. And I camped down the stream, cleaning and collecting the debris. And the hubris caused an altercation, and they said they'd build a strong foundation. And if it was, it'd take them up all the lows. Leaves and rocks, and they'd stand right there and wait it out, and this house would stand as it was, as it was. And I saw that big old fire, no thanks to any arson nonetheless. Not all those men were left, and the owners offered their condolences, and the union said, don't you worry boys, we're gonna have your backs, we will make some noise. If that was true, they build it up, their servants' chair won't be enough, but you can't cash in good intentions. So keep walking, boys, ain't that what you do? And I made my way out east, and soon enough it met my own defeat to a bird in memory of a candid shot not meant for me to see. But I've laid my head, so I'll stay right here, and though I call this home, it is nowhere near that rocky trench, that low valley, that dirty town brings me around to where my father said, why would you go? You've got a lot right here, but you don't know. You don't know.
That was the St. John's-based duo Rube and Rake with their song You Don't Know, as suggested by my guest today, Matthew Carlson. And if you want to see the video about farming that uses that song, go to... do you have a pencil ready? Yeah, you remember those things? Okay. Go to nlyoungfarmers.ca. It's always good to play local music, just like it's good to eat local food. Let's head back to that conversation with Matthew Carlson, the Young Farmers Coordinator of the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture.
In terms of the agricultural production in the province, have people been challenged by not getting some of the seed fertilizers and so on? Or has that not really slowed down?
I haven't heard a whole lot about that as being an issue. That's not to say it's not out there. Yeah. I know there's been shortages on a lot of things. Like there's been more, another thing just sort of getting back to the pandemic is just, there has been a lot more interest in home gardening. And, you know, like I know this year, one of the things that was really hard to get was mason jars because people were, you know, growing a lot of their own products and wanting to pickle them and bottle them, etc. And it was a real struggle to get mason jars on the eastern part of Newfoundland. We'll see how long lasting a lot of these trends are. But, you know, I think a lot of these things, once someone gets introduced to something like that and they enjoy it, whether it be, you know, someone that's getting into farming as a career or just some home gardening, you know, if people are, you know, start that because of something like this and they do enjoy it, well, they're, you know, the bulk of them are going to carry on, right?
How about markets? Did farmers have to, well, pivot is the old word that's being used. Did some of them have to go online?
Yeah, so there was a whole lot of that happening. Some of them were much more formal than others. Some of them had online systems set up. Some of them were just using their Facebook pages and email, et cetera, to get their product out there. I mean, a lot of them were doing orders anyway, but just it became like the predominant business model there for a while. All kinds of adaptation this year. I'll use Lester's Farm Market here in St. John's as an example, because it's a, you know, it's a big one that a lot of people are familiar with. And for a while there, at the height of the pandemic here in Newfoundland, they had plexiglass all over the main part of the market. And you would go in and they would encourage you to place an order ahead of time, whether that be over the phone or through their Facebook page, etc. And they'd tell you when it would be ready. And you would go in and you'd distance out in line and pick it up, and you tell them who you are and what you were there for. And otherwise, they would shop for you. So if you showed up without something pre-ordered, one of their staff, you'd tell them what you want and they would go and pick it out for you. Cabbage of X size or whatever. And they would pick it out for you as best as they could. And of course, these days, you know, you can walk in, but they were still doing some of those things. There's still some pickups available, et cetera.
Which they might maintain.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, for some people, that's the more convenient way to do it, right? So there's, I'm sure there's lots of things that have been learned from this that can maybe help some farmers to, you know, market their product a little differently and maybe reach people a little better. Right? We saw a new business open actually here in the St. John's area recently as well. It's called Urban Market, and it's in an old needs convenience store, and they have a big focus on local. So they will have like Fagan's meats. So they'll have like sausages there from CBS. They will have Five Brothers cheese. They will have produce from local vendors. And it's also just like a neighborhood convenience store. So it seems to be really doing well. It seems to be a very popular spot so far, as so many things in Newfoundland are when they first open. So I certainly hope to see it carry on. And I think they were planning before the pandemic anyway, and just decided like, listen, this is as good a time as any to open and try out this business model. So that's good to see. So it's nice to have somewhere that's sort of centrally located where you can get things all, you know, all things local and not have to, you know, drive all over to get your get your products, right?
So, yeah. I mean, one of the things that's very slowly developing would be, I suppose it's called agritourism or whatever. But if you mentioned the Lester's, and part of the attraction for some people going there is not just the produce and so on. They want to pet the goats as well. So that part of the business was probably just put on hold.
Right, yes. And, you know, some of the farms that do events and birthday parties that are real into agritourism, I mean, it's been a real hit to that business model for sure, right? Because, you know, any big gatherings like that are discouraged and there's limits on the capacity and it has to, you know, be less people if they're able to do something. So it's been a tough year for that side of it, absolutely, right? It's harder to adapt a birthday party to the virtual world, right?
Or did farmers find, by not having tourists around, I guess restaurants were closed, did that influence some of them?
Yeah, and that's another thing for sure. The restaurants were closed and doing just takeout, et cetera, for a long time there. And due to capacity, I'm sure they're not, buying as much anyway. So it's certainly diverted some of the sales. The farmers have had to find other sales avenues for that, right? But again, there's been an increased public emphasis here on buying local. I think it's, you know, luckily that seems to have offset most of that. It seems as though that side of it wasn't impacted nearly as bad as it could have been.
With snowmageddon and with the pandemic, there does seem to be more focus on local food. Are you seeing that within the agricultural industry in general? Are people feeling the love, I suppose, understanding that there's a better appreciation for farming or for agriculture than there was a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a big shift in, you know, thinking for a lot of people about where is this food coming from? Why aren't we producing more of it here? These types of things have gotten people thinking. But as I was touching on earlier about the restaurants, I mean, there has been a bit of a shift in thinking about local. And a lot of that has actually been driven by the restaurants. A lot of the chefs have been really wanting to showcase fresh local products in their dishes, right? And, you know, like Raymond's, for instance, here in St. John's has made a real name for themselves and have promoted local farms. You know, they'll talk about the saltwater lamb that they have there and how that gives it a different flavor. They're using that because they think it's the best product, the best flavor profile. But then by really emphasizing where it's coming from, they're giving a big boost to that farmer, to our local industry as well, right? It's been tremendously helpful having that for the past number of years. There's been more of an emphasis on local anyway. We've seen our St. John's Farmers Market outgrow they really had almost pretty much outgrown it from the first day they were there. But, it just became more and more popular over the years. And they had to find a new home. And now they've been doing real well in the new home, the former bus depot. So it was moving in that direction anyway. But I think the pandemic has really, really accelerated that trend.
One of the things I see some places would be for young farmers anyway, who have limited product lines and limited supply, they get involved with a co-op or with a food hub or something like that. In Newfoundland Labrador, where you've got large geographical distances, if you spend a lot of time trucking your produce to the consumers, that takes time away from being in the fields. And are some of those models developing?
Yeah, it can certainly be a big challenge. A lot of the available land that's out there these days for somebody who's looking to get into agriculture is further away from your population hubs. So getting your product to where your consumer base is living is there's distances involved, there's logistics involved. So it's a challenge. There's certainly some solutions being looked at out there, actually. And one of the things actually that's exciting that's being piloted right now through Food First NL is a food hub on the west coast of the province. So that's something that they're in the very early stages of. It's very promising to see something like that taking shape here.
We work through spring and winter, through summer and through fall, but the mortgage worked the hardest and the steadiest of us all. It worked on nights and Sunday, it worked each holiday, settled down among us, and it never went away. The farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down. The farmer is the man who feeds us all. If you'll only look and see, I know you will agree that the farmer is the man who feeds us all. And the face it all.
His version of the old folk song called Taxes on the Farmer Feeds Us All. It's a bit of an appropriate, though sad, commentary. And it doesn't look as good on a t-shirt as something like a Farmers Feed Cities. I know. But they are related. Today I'm talking with Matthew Carlson of the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture. I start off this last section by asking him about the oft-repeated question, why isn't there more local food available? But consumers may not know that there are logistical issues that limit local food, like access to distribution networks, or a lack of cold storage for vegetables, or abattoirs for meat production. While there has been some discussion about these issues, I was wondering if he saw some actual glimmers of light at the end of those tunnels.
It seems like there's a few more, especially on the meat side of it. It seems like, because that's been a big challenge, red meat in particular, for abattoir capacity. There's very few of them out there, but it seems like there's some people who are getting, I know on the West Coast and in Central, there's a couple new operations either operating now or coming on stream soon. It's good to see that, and we would love to see eventually a CFIA, Canada Food Inspection Agency, facility for red meat here in the province. But to use an agricultural term, it's a bit of a chicken or the egg problem, because you need a capacity to have the facility, and to get that capacity, you really need to have, you know, it's you sort of need one for the other, and how do you get one without having the other? But like the large retail chains, your big grocery chains are wanting to see that, to have local meat in their stores. There's been some exceptions made here and there, but for the most part, that's what's required. So the more sales avenues there are for local products, the more people are going to buy them. The less people had to go out of their way for it. If someone goes to a national grocer, to a Sobeys or a Dominion or whatever the case, and sees local available, you know, then there's a lot better chance that they're going to end up going home with that than if they got to make a second stop to get that product. So that's the dream. One day we get to that phase, you know, just as you see your local chicken at pretty well any store here in the province, to also have local beef at pretty well any store in the province.
That's not a problem unique to Newfoundland and Labrador. The closest federally inspected meat plant for pork is in Quebec. You know, all of Atlantic Canada has to.
Yeah, and that's another thing, is just nationally and globally, it's all so concentrated. So when something goes wrong, as we saw in the pandemic, when we had outbreaks at some of these meatpacking facilities, you know, I think a lot of people started to question, so why do we have so much of our product all going to the one place, so that if something goes wrong, there's a massive implication for the supply chain everywhere? It's not easy to undo some of these trend lines that have been happening for a lot of years. You know, I get the economic side of it, economies of scale, but when things go wrong, you start to really see some of the shortfalls of. You know, we'll see long term how things shake out from that. But again, it's one of those things that nobody really questioned for the longest time. Not nobody, but, you know, very few people. And now got people thinking, at least.
So maybe the pandemic has some value.
Yeah, as much as we're all very eager for those vaccines to get to everyone and to move on from this, there's some things that can certainly come out of this that can be positive.
But it seems like province has done fairly well in terms of COVID thus far, knocking on wood. And that, are there some things that worked very well or that people did well or in order to make it as open as it is now?
That is really has been the key to our success, is getting it under control here and then stopping it as best we can from coming back in. We've been able to do amazingly well here compared to other places. And a lot of that is a built-in geographic advantage that we are an island and a remote part of the mainland. We've used that to our advantage. It's been difficult for the tourism and hospitality sector because of that. There's a real campaign to get people stay home here, they're calling it, to get people to spend their money, do some vacationing here in the province. You know, that was great to see. But again, it's just not enough to offset a lot of the people coming in, especially some of the higher end resorts, et cetera, like the Fogo Island Inn, the kind of people who are spending the kind of money that it takes to go somewhere like that. There's not a whole lot of them here in this province.
If somebody's interested in farming, you know, what would you be your suggestion to them in terms of a next step?
Okay, yeah. So one of the big things we've put together as a resource is what we call the New Farmer Guide. So we've got a resource booklet. We do have hard copies of it as well as a digital copy on our website, nlyoungfarmers.ca. So that's something that we adapted from Nova Scotia. They had a real good resource there, and we got their permission to adapt it and localize it to Newfoundland and Labrador and give people the contacts relevant to here, the programs relevant to here for getting started. And it sort of takes you through those steps. So what's involved in getting land? Who should I talk to about a business plan? You know, other important topics like soil sampling, you know, how does that work? What are the costs involved? Who do I talk to about that? So it's a lot of what do I do and who do I talk to covered in that guidebook. So there's copies on our website. Normally we would be out to a lot of events where we'd be passing out paper copies, but certainly anybody who wants to use the contact form on the website can certainly send us a message that way and give us your mailing address. We'll mail you a copy if you want a hard copy. So we got resources like that. If you get as far as land, we are ready to launch our land matching map. So what this is a new resource that allows people who have land and those who are seeking land to connect. Yeah. So maybe somebody has a piece of family land that was farmed for the longest time. Nobody in their family is presently doing that, and they'd like to see it used to grow again. And maybe somebody's looking for land, and this sort of facilitates them making that connection, you know, to lease it, to sell it, whatever the case. People putting up listings to say that they're looking for land or that they have a piece of land. So we're doing all kinds of great things like that. We got a mentorship pilot program as well. We've made two matches last year. There's two matches that are sort of got to go through some process with our funders. And I would just like to give a little shout out as well, actually, to our funders, the Canadian Agricultural Partnership. We get tremendous support through that program, the CAP program, and this allows us to do all those great things that we're doing here, because without that funding support, we just wouldn't be able to do all these things.
Great. And best love, nlyoungfarmers.ca. Is that the website again?
That is correct. Yeah, that is the website.
Well, thanks so much, Matthew.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ivan.
If you're interested in the land matching map that we mentioned, go to, do you still have that pencil ready? Okay. Go to map.nlyoungfarmers.ca. And since you have that pencil out already, if you want to learn more about the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture, go to nlfa.ca. Yes, I've given you lots of homework just to fill up these long spring evenings.
I tell you one positive that's come out of it is people have thought more about where their food comes from. We would love to see eventually a CFIA, Canada Food Inspection Agency, facility for red meat here in the province. You'll still see predominantly it's people who come from a farming family and have decided to follow in the footsteps of their parents or aunts or uncles. A lot of the available land that's out there these days for somebody who's looking to get into agriculture is further away from your population hubs.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were You Don't Know from Reuben Rake and Taxes on the Farmer Feeds Us All by Ry Cooter. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, was performed this week by the Don Julin Trio. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Epke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
It's a bit of a chicken or the egg problem.